Father, what a great God you are. What a great God. Truly, O God, there's no God like you in all the earth. There's no God like you who hears the cry of your people, who answers prayers that are uttered in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, what a privilege to know you. And we thank you, O God, that all the world who does not know Jesus serves religion and dead God, that our God is alive. And he works wonders and signs in our midst. And we ask, O God, that even as you consider your word this afternoon, you will put upon our hearts and our lives the Holy Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Grant that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, O God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over every foul demon force that has failed itself against his ministry in the church. And in Jesus' name we bind this Satan. And we take authority over every foul demon force. We come against you in Jesus' name. We command you to disperse in all your many ways. In Jesus' name, to any individual or organization. Father, we release over your heart, the hearts and minds of your people, the Spirit of the living God, and the peace of Jesus Christ. We thank you, O God, let your word go forth like a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Let your word be like a hammer that breaks in pieces those things that stand against your way, O God. Lord, this is the hour, this is the day, O God, that you have made. Father God, we thank you that you are the Almighty God who sees from the heavens above upon your people who love your name, upon your people who love you, O God. We thank you, O God, that you hear our prayers. We thank you, O God, that you will cause your grace to abound upon your people. And we thank you, O God, that you work a mighty work, O God, and you will send the delight of your spirit upon your people. Even let your spirit of wisdom and revelation establish your people, O God, upon the hope of your calling, upon the riches of your inheritance in the saints, and exceeding greatness of your power towards us to believe, O God. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And Father, in all that you do, we will continue to give you all the glory, all the worship, and all the honor, because it's to you alone, Lord God, that all things are done. We thank you, O God. Glorify your Son, Jesus, once again in our midst, O God. We worship you. We thank you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, and everybody say, amen. 2 Sundays ago, we completed the blood covenant. And we were just shared this morning on something that the Lord is speaking on the 1995. Last week, on the first service, to share something from 1995. Something that God began to quicken into our spirit. And this morning is that this message began to bubble forth about 1995. And this is what we're going to call it. 1995, the fullness of time. 1995, the fullness of time. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Galatians. There are some things happening in the spirit world that were never happening before in 1995, that has never happened before in any other time before it. There is a lot of spiritual activity. Those of you who have been intercessors in God and praying, or those of you who have been walking in God closely, whom God has given you the gift of discerning all spirits, whoever been able to identify and know what's going on in the angelic realm, will realize that there is a tremendous lot of activity this year. For some reason, and not all the reasons have been revealed to us, the people of God. But one thing I know, there is a lot of activity going on in every nation of the world, in the spirit realm, in 1995, more activity than I've ever seen before in my ministry. I know something is about to happen. Let me read from the book of Galatians, chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. There is what I call a fullness of time coming. There is a time when God's calendar or activities are to be launched forth. Let me cross-reference to the book of Acts. The book of Acts in chapter 1, verse 7. It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in His own authority. What we want to remind you is God has His calendar of activities. He doesn't reveal all His times and seasons. But when we come and approach a certain season of time, there is something in our spirit that responds. There is something in our spirit that gets quickened as we approach the time of God's season. And we look over in the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 21. Acts chapter 3, verse 21. Whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. At the time of the occurrence of Acts 3, there were a lot of prophecies that were unfulfilled. They were being fulfilled in the time of the Apostle Peter. From those days, nearly 2,000 years ago, until our times, some of the prophecies have been fulfilled, but other prophecies have not been fulfilled. At the same time, there are new prophecies that God has spoken through the mouth of His vessels in the history of the church regarding the end times. And some of the prophecies will be and are being fulfilled in our generation. We need to know the times and the seasons of God that we have entered into. And we want to read one more scripture, the Gospel of Luke, just to encourage you why it is important to know the season of God. And God doesn't reveal them, but when we come to them, then we should know it. And God began to impress upon my heart and speak into my heart, saying, tell my people that the times that they're coming to in 1995 is not just a rightness of time. It's not just something in the natural, but there's something taking place in the spiritual world. There is a fullness of time that this world has entered into that it has never entered into before. And we need to walk circumspectly. We need to walk in obedience to God, knowing what's going to happen and what we must do for such a time that we have come unto. In the Gospel of Luke, and we will look at chapter 2, verse 25 and 26. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom and the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Now in verse 25 he says that he was a very just and devout man. Thank God for people like that. And I'm sure today there are many who are like that, waiting for the consolation of Israel. In other words, expecting, knowing the times and the seasons of God, and waiting expectantly. And one day, as he was waiting expectantly, God, the Holy Spirit, spoke to him and gave him a blessing and said that he will not see death till he sees Christ the Messiah, even though Christ the Messiah was only an 8-day-old child. We thank God for the promise given to him. 1995, there is a fullness of time that we have come into. It seems that something has taken place in the spirit world, that we are feeling the vibration in the natural world. There's such a host of angelic activities that are taking place. Let me point to the fact that whenever a season of fullness of time comes, God, of course, he knows about it. The angels are instructed about it. The people of God should know about it. Sometimes they don't. I'll show you Bible, sometimes they don't. And the consequences are not known. The other person who sends it is the devil. He knows something is coming up. See, Satan is a spirit being. And spirit beings can see in the spirit world. He knows it because of what he can see, the amount of activities that are going on. And he knows that something is cropping up. Something is taking place. And usually, about that season, when God is going to do something, Satan tries to preempt God. He tries to do something to stop him. Because he knew. He sensed it. He doesn't know exactly what it is. But he sensed his timing. He sensed a rightness of time that something is going to explode in his face if he doesn't do something. And he tries to do something, but God is able to overcome all his work. Let me show forth in the book of Exodus. Turn to the book of Exodus, please. We know that Joseph brought all the roughly 70 souls of the Israelites into Egypt, and there they multiplied. When Joseph died, and a king who did not know Joseph died, other kings rose up and began to oppress the Israelites. In chapter 1 of Exodus, verse 8, now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph, and he said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mighty than we. And so they began to afflict them. See, the more they afflict them, the more they grew. So there was great suffering. Let's look on in chapter 2 of Exodus. Verse 23-24. Now it happened in Exodus chapter 2, verse 23-24. Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac, with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. I mean, for many, 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 many years, they keep crying to God. They keep groaning to God. But the time has not come yet. See that there was a time that God determined how long that they must be inside that situation of Egypt. Much as it was not easy. But the fullness of time, the rightness of time has not come yet. God told Abraham way back in Genesis chapter 15 that the people of God, his people, will be in that nation, and they will be oppressed for 400 odd years before they come forth. And the 400 odd years have not come yet. Now it's not for us to try to understand prophecy by pure mathematics. A lot of people have tried to do that and they miss. They keep predicting the wrong year and the wrong time. I believe it's not something that you could do just in mathematics, because there could be what I call injury time that you could not account. We do not know the day, we do not know the hour or something, but we would know the season when we come to those seasons. And much as they suffered and cried, nothing seemed to happen. Now when I say 1995, the fullness of time, some of you are just thinking about 1995, the fullness of time, yeah, one of the special years, and God bless a lot. I'm not talking about just that. You don't know what's happening, that's happening. Some of the things that are happening have been things that have been planned for 40, 80 years and prophesied by the people of God. We're not talking about just an exceptional year. We're talking about prophetic times and seasons that we enter into. And we must be aware of what we enter into. Just to remind you, even in a natural, you're only 5 years away from the year 2000. Before mankind crossed into the 21st century. It's obvious that the way we used to do things, the way we operated before must change. We must get ready for the 21st century. We must change our methods. We must change our thinking. We must renew our vision. Don't wait until 1999 and then wake up and it's too late. Because let me tell you, some of the changes will take 5 years. Some of the renewal and the acclimatization for the 21st century may take 5 years, may take 7 years. And let me remind you, even the people of the world are getting ready. How much more the Church of Jesus Christ, that we must know the times and the hour that we are living in. These are the last days. Now by last days, I don't mean that Jesus is going to come at midnight 2000 AD, December 31st. But one thing we know, we have entered the last year. In which God is working and doing mightily. And you know what God is doing even through the ministry of Ronnie Howard Brown and through other places. There's some things that are happening that are very strange. You know that these are times that God is doing a refreshing. The past 4 to 5 years, it looks like there were scandals out, scandals in the church, but suddenly here comes this visitation. And recently, over the last year, I met with Sam Darling. Sam Darling is a man, if you look at Ronnie Howard's tape, and you'll find one of the tall, big, handsome men about the Shankar's height, about 2 times Shankar's height. And he's always with Ronnie Howard Brown. And he came by, and he said that we need to combine the ministry. It says what God is doing. What God is doing, and you look at the text, and you don't know who it is, you look at the text of signs and wonders, and you see the guy while Ronnie Howard was leaning on the pulpit, and he couldn't stop, and he was just crying, the people were all crying, and he's the guy standing on his right side. So he came and he said, "We have tasted the move of the Spirit for the past 2 years. We have seen some extreme things, but we know these are genuine things." And one of the things about this group of people, they are different. They are not the same type of people. They are very contrite-hearted. As he spoke to me, this big man, he was crying. Tears were flowing out his eyes. I said, "Lord, this is a different breed that you're raising. Not like the old breed." And he said, "For the past 2 years, the tears moved, but he says they know one thing. That unless the word of God comes to undergird the move of the Spirit, this will just be a passing phenomenon." And the reason he came all the way, when somebody else invited him to Malaysia, somebody went there to Ronnie Howard's meeting and invited him over, and he came over, and he said, when he came here, there was only one person he wanted to see, that was me. He got my book, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and he said, "This is what we need. We have the Holy Spirit, but we are not taught about the Spirit." And he knows one thing, that the move that the Holy Spirit has been working, and this is confirmation. You see, God was moving by the Spirit in 1950 right down to 1960. And then God started working by the Word in the 1970s, right onto our time. And then in the 1990s, the move that God is doing now is the move of the Word and the Spirit. And he asked me, he said, come over to the stage. I said, "No, the time has not yet come." I said, "There will come a proper time. For now God called me to Asia, I want to be faithful here. I'm not interested in more ministry. I'm not interested in bigger ministry. I only want to be faithful and obedient to what God called us to do." Hallelujah. And if every one of us find a place in God's kingdom and just stay faithful, I think we can win the world for Jesus. Amen. But one of the things that are coming forth is these days that we are moving into are the days of the Word and Spirit. And don't ever forget that. Because if in this move of the Spirit, you try to move into the Spirit without the Word, something is going to happen. And if you try to move into the Word and the Spirit, something else is going to happen. Because we have come to a time when God will not put up with nonsense anymore. It's the last days that we have entered into. And here the Israelites were suffering, and they were crying to God, but the time has not yet come. But God saw it, and God was working something. If Moses was 80 years old when he met God in Exodus chapter 3, that means that 80 years ago, when he was saved in a little bull rush, cradle that was made, that God was already planning the deliverance. 80 years before the deliverance of the Israelites, God had already answered their prayer. And Moses was already in their midst being trained by God. When he was 40 years old, Moses missed God's timing and tried in the flesh to do God's will, and it didn't work. He had another 40 years of re-education. Finally, when the time was right, the burning bush appeared to Moses, and God called him and sent him forth. There is a fullness of time. The marvelous thing, as I bring all these figures to you, is that God has been planning it through Moses' life for 80 years. Now, if you were among the Israelites, you're crying and you were weeping and you're suffering. I mean, slavery is no easy task. Some people may have died in the hardship. The weak among them, the sickly among them may have died. a lot of tears, a lot of blood was shed. And you're wondering, maybe within the 0 to 80 years, when God already answered, and God was working His answer, except that it cannot be seen with our eyes. The people whom God has in mind, our lineup, has not been put into those positions yet. And here is the word of God. Thus says the Lord, the people whom I have already chosen to reap this hour and this generation have already been consecrated. I have my 7,000 people who have not bowed their knees to Baal, save the Lord. And I have given them, save God. But the time is coming that I will put them in the position that I will have for them. And you will see my great deliverance and salvation upon this earth, save the Lord. Hallelujah! He has His people already there. But they are not visible yet. It was not time to reveal them yet. And God is saying that His people are there now. They are His Moses. They are His Joshua. They are His Elijah. His Elisha. They are all there, standing in the background, waiting for God's order. They have consecrated their hearts, they consecrated their mind, consecrated their life, all ready for God's marching order, waiting for the call of the trumpet. I wonder, during those 80 years, how many died of discouragement, not knowing that God has already done that work, and it's just a matter of the fullness of time. I want to encourage you. Do not be discouraged. Do not ever be down when you look at the whole situation in the world. Know that God has set aside His 7,000. Now, 7,000, I'm only using symbolically. His 7,000 people who do not bow their knee to Baal. And that in a moment of time, God is going to raise them up into this position. And that's what God has assigned me to speak to you this afternoon about that. First of all, we see that at a time when even 80 years before the deliverance, when God brought from Moses, Satan sent something. He didn't know what, he could not understand what it is, but he sent something, and immediately of all times, about that time when Moses was born, he inspired in the heart of crone Pharaoh to kill all the babies. Isn't it a coincidence on the natural that it should happen at the time that Moses was born? Moses could have been killed. It is because Satan sensed something was happening. He may have seen angelic activities operating. He knew something was up. He didn't know what it was. But Satan was stirred up. The same thing when you look at the life of Jesus. Right at the time when Jesus was born, and throughout the 2 years after that, when the wise men had come looking for Jesus and they arrived in Jerusalem 2 years later, that Satan stirred up Herod at a time when Jesus was only a little child, about 2 years old. That's why Herod commanded all the children below 2 years to be killed. I think that is a very cruel order, killing little children. Innocent little children. Think about the many cries that went out. The Bible even says that there was a cry that went out. Innocent little children being killed. It only could be the devil behind it. And right at that time, Jesus was not in a natural position to fend for himself. Think about that. Satan tried to strike while the iron is hot. God has His special angelic being. And God has His special assignment. There was Joseph who was a righteous man. There was Mary who was a righteous lady. Sent His angel. And Satan was inspiring Herod to kill. And God sent an angel. And the angel woke Joseph up and said, wake up. Quickly, take the baby. And run, flee to Egypt. If God sent His angel and organize all the escape routes, left them in Egypt for some time, and then finally when Herod died, he says, you can go back now. Sends the same angel to tell them, you can go back now. God has his angels on secret assignment. The thing that we see here is how satanic opposition came. Satan knows that if you want to kill a tree, don't wait till the tree has grown too big. Kill it while it's in seed form. And Satan knows that if you receive a revelation from God, that's why I'm encouraging you today. God spoke to my heart and God said, I put my speech in my people. I put my ideas in my people. I put my wisdom in my people. And now is the most critical stage. Do you know that the early stages of pregnancy of a woman are very critical? Because if they can make it over X number of months, they can make it. But it's the early stages of conception when it's critical. And then when they pass certain states, they have established the whole system and now it can stand for itself. The same way God says 1995, he's sowing his seeds in the hearts of his people. He's telling them his ideas. He's whispering into their ears. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. He's speaking into their lives. And that is when the devil and the enemy is trying hard to kill the seeds and the saplings before they grow into huge and mighty trees for God. And if you cross-reference to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says here, and he speaks in the third person, but we know he refers to himself, verse 3, and I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he was caught up into paradise and her inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmity. For though I might be desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I forbear, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hear from me, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation. Notice the word, by the abundance of the revelation. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. When Satan came, when there was a revelation, when there was a seed form given into Paul's life of the things that are inexpressible to utter, and when his apostolic ministry has not come up yet, when the apostle Paul was fully established, fully recognized worldwide, it's very hard to shake him. But when he's a nobody, when he's unknown, when he's freshly receiving the revelation of God, that's when the devil wants to hit him down. And it's when you just receive the revelation of God. When you receive some of those things, and why is God speaking this? Because this is the word of God. God said, tell my people to guard my ideas, to guard the wisdom that I give to them, to guard those thoughts and those seeds I give to them, because some are in a process of abortion in the things that God has given them. And especially some of those things that God has been speaking into your life, that is so important to God. But these are things that have to do with the revival of the last day church. We will not weary you with other passages that are similar. I just quote them to you. In the book of Daniel, when Daniel was spending time with God praying, did you know that the prince of Persia was sent to receive Gabriel for only one reason and one reason alone, and that was to prevent the revelation from coming to Daniel's life. He can't kill Daniel. He can't do anything else to Daniel. He wants to prevent the revelation from coming into Daniel's life. And that's number one, the key work of the enemy in this day. Therefore, whatever God reveals to your life in the secret places of your heart, hide them. Guard them carefully. Don't let the enemy steal them. Don't let the enemy steal them in any other way that he can plan and manipulate any other way. Guard that which God has shown you. Got it carefully. Secondly, that is always in the season of God. Now everything is falling into place. Last year when God spoke about the year of visitation, we only saw the year of visitation. But this year, as God says, the year of revival, we begin to see how the two connect. It's because there is something happening of the fullness of time taking place, and because of the fullness of time, God is visiting His people. And of course, God will continue to visit His people. The second thing that will happen in this fullness of time is special visitations of God. Special times and seasons. Special experiences that you have never experienced before. Oh, over the past 2 years, there have been so many different types of spiritual experiences that the Lord has allowed to experience as kings. And even now it continues. Sometimes it never happened before. I mean, I could do all those things in the spirit, but it never happened before. But only recently, I'm just talking about one of the many. As I spend time with God, when I try to pray or do anything, out comes only singing in the spirit. It's almost, I can't do anything but sing in the spirit. It's funny. It's very funny. It's like something bigger is happening. Something marvelous is happening. And when I usually pray in tongues, and every time I start praying in tongues, every time it keeps running to singing in the spirit. It's not like I have lost control. Now, I don't mean that I cannot control. But I mean that it's like there's a river release. You know what I mean? It's like there's a river release in the spirit world, and every time you tap on the spirit world, boom, it comes. Not like before. It's like every time I spend time with God, every time I want to do something, out comes the singing in the spirit. Here we are, no, Syria. And I'm in the industry, I'm gonna pray, I'm gonna say this, go on my knees, hallelujah. And I look around and say, God, what in the world is happening? What in the world is happening? And some of you will realize over the past 3 years, a lot of things have changed me. I'm not the same person anymore. And I keep changing in the Lord for good. We need to allow the anointing of God and the Spirit of God to change and transform us. But there is something happening that is beyond any one of us. There's something released in the spirit world that is so powerful. That every time when you step into it, it looks like, hey, last time the power line seems to be 240 volts. Now it seems to be 1,000 volts. You go, what is it? Hallelujah. Some of you may not have been experiencing it yet. It's because, number one, your switch is not turned on. Number two, your wires are so old, the rat came and bite them. Time to rewire. Something is happening in the spirit realm. Something beautiful. I can't even fathom it with my understanding. I couldn't even bring it out with my understanding what I'm trying to convey. But I can only sum it in one word. There is a fullness of time. But never before. I never, in 20 years of ministry, I never experienced things like that. I never experienced when you're praying to God and you're crying, and then it keeps blowing into the direction of singing the spirit. Maybe in your life it's a different experience. But one thing is sure, that there is a deluge of the spirit, a deluge of the spirit. There is a mighty flow of the spirit. In this time that we are living in, it's a time of great visitation. Number three, let's look at the Gospel of Luke. And we consider the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Number three, God says, number one, there are satanic oppositions that are there that has never been so active before. Number two, God is even more active, and the angelic forces more active, and more release of the Spirit. There's a greater flow in 1995 of the river of God. Oh, river of God. Oh, river of God. There's a greater flow of that river of God than is ever flown in our times today. Marvelous time. Number three, natural events are going to be brought into line with God's calendar. We will see the nations of the world move, conform to God's predestination for all the nations of the world. There will be natural events. And to the world, it looks like just a natural event that has been necessary and are ordained by God as a part of the last day move that will come about. And we did speak about some of those events in our earlier series on 1995. But let me now conclude with some of the blessings and those things that are supposed to take place in our life in 1995, in case we miss it. Turn with me to the book of Joel. Book of Joel. Praise the Lord. The book of Joel. We know the promise of verse 28 to verse 32. This has been a promise quoted in the book of Acts chapter 2. How it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also on my men servants and on my maid servants. I will pour my Spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillar of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said among the remnant whom the Lord called. Now here are the good news that I want to deliver to you. Good news number one, verse 25, that's for you. So I will restore to you the years that the storming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I send among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. Now, remember this. Number one, good news number one. You know how sometimes in our Christian life, we know as we look back at our Christian life, there are places where we fail God. There are places where we have not been fully obedient. There are places that we regret. And there are times and things that we could have had, but because we missed God, we did not have them today. Things that we could have entered into that we have missed it. We either postponed it or it got cancelled. Things that we could have entered into that we have missed it. We either postponed it or it got cancelled. And this is why God brings this message of 1995 again, the fullness of time, because good news number one. 1995 is the year that God will restore to you all those things you could have had. But either because you miss God, or a lack of obedience, or boldness, or lack of whatever in your life, and that lack has caused you that you did not possess the land which you should have by this year, at this time, in God's record book at this time, you should have had what you should have had in the spiritual and in the natural. And because of different things that are happening, that you don't have it. God says,
this year is the year that you could have it. Now you may pay a different price for it. It may cost you twice as much as it cost you before. He said, then what's the good news? The good news is that you will be unable to still get it. When you miss it, he restores it. Where should you be now in 1995 if you have been obedient to God all your life? And you can list down all those things. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, etc. Well, the good news, number one, is that God in 1995 wants to restore to you everything so that in 1995 you could be as if you have been obedient to God all your life. In 1 year and in one stroke of His Spirit, in one lightning stroke of His Spirit, He brings you to the point of blessing and restoration where it's as if you have been fully obedient to God. And you will enter 1996 full of all the things. And it looks like every year before 1995 that you're obedient and you have all the things that you should have had by 1995 as you enter 1996, the year of restoration. And in order for that to come into our lives, there are a few sub points that I won't go into detail that I will encourage you in. A, get into the wisdom of God that is released in 1995 that will show you how to put yourself in a position to have it restored to you. B, align yourself with the correct people and the relationship that will enable you to have it restored in your life. C, commit to God of the vision that He has for you, of the ministry, and of your part to play, and God will restore all those things to your life. That's the first thing that God spoke. The first good news, that this year, if we will listen carefully to God, and we will obey God, everything that you had missed will be brought to you, not next year, not in 1997, not in 1998, but this year, if you listen to God, and I'm speaking by the Spirit of God, He will show you how to have it. That's good news. Good news number two. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Good news number two. God will choose the little things to do the mighty, little ones to do the mighty things. God will choose the what is considered foolish in the world to do the wise things. Remember earlier in this year in our newsletter, we spoke about prophecy God gave regarding the changeover that is taking place. How that those who are not faithful in their position, in their wealth, and in whatever God has given, they're going to lose it, and those who are faithful are going to gain it. And how God is just tired of all those who have been blessed and who have not been faithful. And now God wants to give it to the faithful. And what is happening is that this is the pattern that God is using. And I want to encourage you, because some of you, when you look at yourself, you look at what you have in your hands, you look at what you have in your heart, you look at what you have in your mind, and you say, who am I? I'm only like a little worm and a little ant. But these are the days, and this is good news number two, because in these days, God is choosing the little worms to do the work of the little tigers. God is choosing the little ones to do the work of the great and mighty ones. God is choosing the little David to overcome the big giant Goliath. God is choosing the little Gideon's army to overcome a great and mighty army. It is very strange, I would think. And good news number two should encourage you that no matter how little you think you have, no matter how small you think you are, if you will yield to God 100% in 1995, that with whatever 5 loaves and 2 fishes that you have, He's going to bring you to feed 4,000 and 5,000 people. He's going to cause a multiplication in your life. Look at the book of Deuteronomy, please. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 7 and verse 8. In line with point number 2. The Lord did not set His love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any other people. For you were the least of all people. That's marvelous. Number one, they're outnumbered. Number two, they're out-trained. Number three, they're out-weaponed. And yet they still want. That's marvelous. That's what I call the divine economy. When God takes the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feeds the 5,000, that's divine economy. Hallelujah. Something impossible. But these are the days when God works miracles like that. God's going to take one of you little people out on the street. You've been faithful to God. You've been in your closet. You've spent time with God. And then because of one little thing or little idea you had, boom, God puts you right before kings and prime ministers. Far surpassing others who have strived to have those things for 40 years. These are the days. And God used the foolish to confound the wise. And even more, we must bow our knees before God and have a humble and contrite heart before God. And the good news too is, don't be discouraged by what little you have. Don't look at your 2 fishes and say, what can 2 fish do? Don't look at your 5 loaves and say, what can 5 loaves do? Don't look at your band of 300 people, Gideon's band, and say, what can 300 people do to save the whole nation? Don't ever say that. Because in 1995, something is quickening. There is an overturning and a shaking that's taking place. And God is bringing all those 7,000 whom He has hidden out of the closet. And suddenly they will be in positions of power. By the time we cross into 1998, the powers would have fallen. The mighty will no more be mighty, but the little will be mighty. The powers would have fallen. By the time we cross into 2000 AD, it will be a different scene altogether. The 7,000 of those who have been faithful and obedient to God will suddenly be put into those high places. Turn with me to the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. And in 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah was very discouraged. And I wonder whether anyone is spiritually discouraged. Or whether any one of you in your endeavors to God have been discouraged. I pray that this good news message cheer you up. In 1 Kings 19, as Elijah was very discouraged and he says these words in verse 10. I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts.
For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets to the sword. He has all the bad news to give to God. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Elijah has a lone ranger syndrome. He says, oh Lord, I'm the only one left. All your prophets have died. All these things have happened. Everything is bad. And Lord, I'm the only one left. And even me, they are trying to kill. God took him aside and said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. The Lord passed by and encouraged him and said, go your way in verse 15. Give him the word. In other words, the Lord is trying to say, continue to do your work. And then he says in verse 18, yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Now, the question we ask is, where are the 7,000? Nobody knows them. Even Elijah, the prophet of God, knows them. And let me tell you, even the men of God in our days, even the men and women in the fivefold ministry in our days, those who are famous, those who have reached their heydays even today, and the ladders over the past 40 years, even they do not know where the 7,000 are. But suddenly, they're going to rise up from the left and from the right, all over the place, because God has reserved them for himself. For the time that we are entering into. Even Elijah, the prophet of God, who has a word of knowledge operating very easily in his life, didn't even know that there was a 7,000. And he got me. Let me remind you, the people of God are there. Some of you may be wondering, hey, I've been doing this, I've been faithful to that. Where is help coming from? And you don't seem that your help is coming forth. And suddenly, God will raise up help from places that you've never seen before. In areas that you never realized before. In places that you've never been to before. And out comes the glory of the Lord. And you will stand back and see the salvation of the Lord your God. Hallelujah. There is good news number two, that God is going to choose the little ones to confound the mighty ones, the foolish ones to confound the wise, the least to confound the numerous. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, we haven't finished reading that yet. Deuteronomy chapter 7, in verse 7. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people. For you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. And he repays those who hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. So God told them, you are the least of all the people. And yet God is going to use them. These are the days when the Davids will confound the Goliath. So we call you again, O Davids of God, arise in God and overcome the Goliath. Don't be frightened by the Goliath you see in 1995 before you, because there's God's golden opportunity for you. Go and get your 5 stones and your slingshot. The world may boo at you for taking the slingshot. While everybody else is used to carrying their shield and their spear and their sword. And you go out with your little slingshot. And the world boos at you. The world says, you can't do business this way. You can't do the ministry this way. Boo, boo, boo. But But let me tell you, with their swords, spears, and shields, they have never been able to overcome Goliath. But with your little 5 stones, in fact, 1 is enough. Let me tell you, David picked the 5 stones not to play 5 stones. He got the 5 stones and he got the 1 stone. With the little slingshot that the world despised, who would go for international warfare with a little dust stick? Said the Paul. But God sends a little boy, a little shepherd boy, untrained in war, so small size. Some of us are thinking, David was big size, hallelujah. But David must have been pretty small size, because when Saul kept his foot, his armor on him, he cannot move. Later on, he may have grown big, but he was a lad, teenager probably. Who would send a teenager to warfare? Who would use a slingshot in warfare? Who would use a stone rather than a spear or international warfare? But God does. God does. Don't despise your little stones and your little slingshots. Those little companies that you have, that you've been faithful to, faithful in tithing, faithful in offering, faithful in doing something for God. And you look at it, this is my little sole proprietor company. Oh my God. Who am I to face with all these multi-conglomerate, multinational, billionaire companies when mine is a 1 cent company? God can take that and use you and put the wealth of the world into your hands. Hallelujah. Praise God. Give him a good clap offering. He's able to do that. The Davids are able to confront the Goliath in the time that we have in God. The third good news. I'm not sure whether it's going to be good news for you, but maybe it won't be bad news. Definitely it won't be bad news. But you can call it strange news. Let's look at the Gospel of John. Gospel of John. And we look at John chapter 2. When Nathanael came to see Jesus, Philip brought Nathanael. And verse 46, in John chapter 1, verse 46, Nathanael said to Philip, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Now this will be the question the world will be asking, but let me tell you, there will not only be good things coming out of Nazareth, there will be the best thing coming out of Nazareth. Hallelujah. And Philip said to him, "Come and see." Now we talk a little bit about those, for those in business, what about the ministry? God is finally going to raise one of you little ones to be faithful to God. You're such an intercessor. You're prayerful in God. You know God's word. You speak only when God tells you to speak. Suddenly when God opens one little door for you, you enter and you speak God's divine oracle, and boom, something happens that I've never seen before. That will move nations. That will move multitudes. That will cause the Spirit of God to come upon people's lives. Philip said, "Come and see." And Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than this." And he said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Now this was a special blessing he pronounced on Nathanael because of how easily he absorbed and believed in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He's talking about open heaven for Nathanael. The third good news is this, that God will begin to bring some of us, and most of us who have been walking with God, living with God righteously, into new experiences that you have never experienced before. Some of it may be very, very strange, even peculiar, but it will still be in line with the Word of God, so you don't be frightened by them. Experiences in your own life, revelations in your own life, they will still be in line with the Word of God. Things like talking about the Spirit of God taking control of you in ways that He may have never taken control before. Peculiar experiences. And let me prepare you for them, because it's coming forth. It's coming forth. Experiences that you never dream about. And suddenly it strikes you. Notice that when the angel Gabriel came, and God visited His people in the fullness of time, who did He come to? He came to a people without God. Joseph was a righteous man. Mary was a righteous lady. For many years they walked in righteousness. Zacharias was a righteous priest. Elizabeth was a righteous woman. It is to the righteous that God comes. To those without God. When Jesus saw Nathanael, He says, "Behold an Israelite in whom is no God." I think it's very hard to make a statement like that to the average people. Without God means this is a person who has been so pure in heart, so righteous, so loving to God, so caring of the things of God, and he's hungry after God. Although he could hardly accept the mental fact that Jesus could, the Messiah could come from Nazareth, the moment he saw the Messiah pronounced the word of knowledge, he acknowledged the Messiah. Such was his purity. And blessed are the pure in heart in these last days, for they shall see God. That's good news number 3. And get ready for interesting experiences. In fact, for some of us, it may be a bit frightening. Any of you seen Ronnie Howard Brown's Tape Signs and Wonders? If you haven't seen, please get a copy and go and see that interesting thing. Hallelujah. And I saw it, my children saw it, we all laugh and laugh and laugh. Funny how the Spirit works. And it's the Holy Spirit. When I was looking at it, the Lord says, this is only the beginning. Some people are talking about Toronto blessing. But let me tell you, there's more than that. This is only the beginning of strange things. And already people find it hard to swallow. But let me tell you, it's of God. Let me declare, this is God. Now there will always be people trying to claim, "Oh, I got it now." That's not what God wants. God wants a continual experience. Oh, the tender heartedness. I was moved when Sam Darling came and saw me, he cried. And when we prayed, I cried. I was moved by the Spirit. There's something different. This is a different breed of people. This is a breed of people that weeps easily before God. A broken and contrite heart that cries to God, and already for fresh new experiences in God. Hallelujah. If you think that all that God has done is tremendous, wait till you see some more. Some of us are saying, what can be new some more? Wait till God comes and shows you what else He can do. But the good news number 3 is that God is saying, for those without God, for those who are pure in heart, for those who have loved Him and who have been faithful and who are righteous in Him, that their new experiences, even peculiar experiences that they're going to have in God, just open your heart to it and let the Spirit of God just flow through in your life. Hallelujah. I don't understand what's going on in my life. Every time I pray, I get singing in the Spirit. But I'm going to yield to that. I'm going to flow in it and see what happens. And if I don't show up when I should show up, then you know I'm still somewhere up there. I don't know what's going to happen, but I want to have more of God and all of God and yield all to God. Hallelujah. I encourage you to yield more to God.
attend all the prayer meetings you can, fellowship with all the fellowships you can, wherever you can spend time with God, because these are critical, crucial times of God's impartation in our time. Hallelujah. We praise you, God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, you have the music playing, please. We thank you, Father God. Oh God, these are the last days. Lord, we have delivered your word to your people. Oh God, your spirit is even now moving in our midst.
In the Holy Spirit, come and stand on the altar here, and the Holy Spirit will just heal you. If you are here, you've never been born again, and you want to be born again, and you never make a public decision for Jesus, let me invite you, come over to my left side over here, and we'll pray with you for Jesus to come into your heart and life. You can kneel, you can stand, you can be in any position you want, but let's all raise our hearts up before God and worship Him. Lift up your hands to receive the Holy Spirit as He comes on you, as He flows and floods your life. Oh, I know those of you who have never been able to speak in tongues before, come and receive the free flow of tongues even right now on the altar as the Spirit of God flows in our midst. Even now, nobody is going to touch you because the Holy Spirit is here. He'll just fill you as you yield to Him. Even right now. Receive right now, wherever you are, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God flowing through you, even right now. Let go your heart. Let go your mind. Let go your life to God. And let Him flood you. It's the Holy Spirit just flooding your life. Yes, the Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, for your presence. Thank you, God, for your presence. Wherever you are, whatever you need, the Holy Spirit touching you right now, healing your life. Even right now, as you're standing in God's presence, you're not being baptized in the Spirit. God gives you a new song to you right now. In the name of Jesus, receive a new song right now. Hallelujah! We worship you, God.
Yeah.